Okay, well, welcome everybody to week four of four of our, so hooray, you know, we've reached the pinnacle, we've reached the top of Mount Everest here. Now it's all downhill, right? Yeah. Not quite. So, here's the hard work starts, you know, it's easy to talk about this stuff, it's a little harder to actually do it, right? So, but this is, of course, the preschool parenting class. And in the previous 3 weeks, we've talked about the foundation of a great household, of raising great kids, and that was
love the Lord
your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? And let God be a part of everything that happens in your household, okay? God is part of everything you do, okay? So that's the foundation. If you get that right, then the rest of it just kind of fits into place. It all works together. The second week, we talked about the parents. So it was the foundation and then the parents. And with the parents, we're talking about basically what's the role of mom and dad. And basically a lot of it is to model for the kids how they're supposed to be. So you're showing them by your life that, you know, submission to the scriptures, respect for one another, putting God as the most important thing in your life. And helping the kids to understand that God's the most important thing in your family. So that was the second week. In the third week, this last week, we talked about the kids. So the foundation, the parents, the kids. And with the kids, we were talking about discipline and boundaries and, you know, how do you define the proper boundaries for the kids, and then how do you make sure they stay in them, and how do you train them to stay in them, how do you discipline them when they get outside the boundaries. Okay? So we talked about it. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. I recall last round when I was teaching the elementary school parenting, Sherry had this book out on the table. It said 50 ways to improve student behavior. Okay? Which I thought was an interesting title of a book, right? Especially teaching a class about parenting. 50 ways to improve student behavior. It kind of reminded me of this song. I don't know if y'all, how many of y'all have heard the Paul Simon song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? A very worldly song, you know, a very worldly song, but it did make a point that I think applies. It is like, you don't have to know all 50 ways, right? You just have to use the one you know, right? And, really when it gets right down to it, it's not all that complicated. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make here. You just have to do what you know to do. And that's the hard part. Okay? So, but we talked about disciplining the kids. And then this week we're going to talk about the world. And, you know, how do we discipline, how do we keep the world, the influence of the world out of our kids? How do we get our kids to grow up and not be worldly? And that's the topic for today, and that's a really big deal. So we'll get right into that. But before we do that, let's start with a prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you've given us your scriptures to show us how to raise our children. We're grateful for the children you've given us. We're grateful for the relationships that we have with you and that we can introduce them to. Father, I pray that as we look at this topic tonight, that you'll help us to understand the importance and of keeping the world out. Help us to recognize where that applies and all the different ways that we need to defend against to keep the world out of our kids' lives. Help us understand your word. Be with me as I teach. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about the world. Don't be surprised if the parenting goals of the people around you are going to be different from yours, right? People in your neighborhood, people in the daycare, people in, the sports teams, as your kids go into school, the parents of the school kids, their goals and standards and values are different from yours. Don't be surprised if they do things differently. And don't be influenced by that. We're talking about keeping the world out of your life. You know, you got to be different. That's going to be sort of the theme of this whole class. You need to be different. And, their way of disciplining their kids is going to be different. Their standards for what's right and wrong is going to be different. And it's going to take some diligence on your part to keep to keep the values of the world out of your house, and it, particularly out of your own practice with your kids. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll start reading here. And we'll jump right into what God has to say about keeping the world out of your house. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them, show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against who?
You.
Against you, and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all peoples of the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession. And then let's look down in verse 25. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them. Do not take for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. Okay? Very clear picture, right? There's some things out there that you got to just not mess with. Don't let it in your house. Don't bring it in. You can't be like the people around you. So let's talk about it a minute. He talks about in verse 6. You know, he basically gives the reason why we have to be different from the people around us. He says, "For you are a people what? Holy to the Lord." What does it mean to be holy?
Set apart.
Okay, yep. That's the technical answer. That's the correct answer. What does that mean? Be different.
You're supposed to be the influence
on the people around you rather than the other way around, right? Okay. Let me give you a little illustration. Everybody know what this is? Can you see?
Toothbrush.
It's a toothbrush, right? Everybody have one of these?
Yep.
Right? You know, that's a good thing. I'm glad you do. What do you use it for?
Brushing.
You brush your teeth, you know. On some regular basis, you brush your teeth, right? Okay. Now, you know, sometimes people use these for something else too, right? What other things can you do with a toothbrush?
Scrub your shoes.
Scrub your shoes.
Yeah,
what else?
Clean spots.
Yeah.
You
know,
you can't
get into skinny spots that you've got to clean.
Brush
your eyebrows, okay. How about the mildew streaks that get in the cracks of the towel, you know, good for that. You know, you could scrub a toilet with it, you know, get in the little corners of it, you know. There's a lot of things you can do with a toothbrush. How do you think your spouse would feel if you took their toothbrush and went and started scrubbing tile and toilets and then just put it back in her rack afterwards? How would they feel?
Did you clean it really well so he wouldn't know?
What was the purpose? Yeah. What's the problem with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? Okay. It's disgusting, right? It's totally repulsive. That's what's wrong with that picture. Because a toothbrush is intended for one thing. And once you've used it for something else, it's no longer any good as a toothbrush, right? Okay. You don't use it for those other things until you're no longer planning on using it for brushing your teeth. Your toothbrush is holy to one purpose. It is set apart for brushing your teeth. Okay? Just likewise, Christians are holy. We are set apart for a relationship with God. How do you think God feels when we try to do other things? We have other allegiances when God is not our one set apart purpose in our life. It's like brushing your teeth with a toilet brush. Okay? It's disgusting to God. That's how God feels when we don't make Him the center of everything we do. If we don't love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love Him, but we also love the world. You can't have it both ways. If you're holy, you're like a toothbrush. You got one purpose and you don't do anything else. Everything you do is for the glory of God. That's what it means to be holy. So we'll be reminding ourselves of that throughout the class. But that's what holy is. All right? So he talks about here, you know, not intermarrying with the people around, right? Verse 3. After they conquered the Canaan's land and all these ites that they were going to drive out, it says, don't give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Okay? You know, your kids are preschoolers, right? You're not really at this point thinking about who they're going to marry necessarily. Okay? Although it's not a bad thing to start praying for a great disciple. You know, somebody needs to be raising a kid right that's going to be your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law one day, right? Okay? It'd be a great thing to be praying for. But you want to make sure that you're not building these connections to people that don't share your values. You can only trust a non-Christian so far. Okay? That's a hard thing to say. That's true. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not trustworthy. You can't, you know, bank with them or things like that. What I'm saying is their values are not your values. You know, how many people do you know that are holy, like I just described? Okay? Are you holy, like I just described? That's the standard. You know, when we said in the first week, the foundation is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we're talking about. It's that kind of holiness, that kind of the focus of my whole life, my family, everything I do is wrapped around and saturated with God. So that, you know, most of the people you encounter, even religious people, are not like that. Most of them, you know, religion is basically Sunday and maybe midweek, and then maybe, you know, try to live a righteous life or an upright life, a respectable life. But being holy, like the toothbrush, goes a lot farther than that, doesn't it? So, you start getting yourself too tied in with people that don't share those values, they're going to influence you. Okay? And that's what this is about. He says, don't intermarry with them. And, you know, I think it's really important. He talks about here, if you let your kids become worldly and get engrossed and entangled with worldly people, who does God hold accountable for that? The parents. He says, it says that, you know, the Lord's anger will burn against you and He'll quickly destroy you. So God holds the parents responsible for training the kids to grow up that way. He talks about detestable things, not bringing detestable things into your house. What are some of the detestable things that we need to keep out of our house? Excuse me? Movies, TV, internet, different ways the world comes into your house, right? Basically media, all those different kinds of media. Now, probably your kids don't have cell phones yet. Okay, you know, I would think that a preschooler probably doesn't have a cell phone yet. But that's another way that the world comes into your house, right? You know, anybody in the world can come in through that cell phone. Okay, and you don't know. You know, you have to keep detestable things. But there's also detestable language, right? There's detestable conversation, detestable, excuse me?
Mannerisms.
You know, just values in general, detestable things. And so he's, you know, our job as parents, as a head of a house, the father in particular, we're going to see, is responsible to keep that out of the house. Okay? So, let's go through those a little bit. You know, on television, you know, we're talking about preschool kids, right? But a lot of our preschool kids are like 3 and 4 and approaching 5, right? Yeah. I mean, we've got people of different ages in here. But, it's, you know, they're already watching some television, aren't they? Most of them. A lot of our kids are already watching television. Television can turn your kid into a worldly kid, can't it? Okay. Sherry and I had some rules when our kids were small, and really as they grew up. There was only certain television they were allowed to watch. Okay. Mostly non-commercial TV. So public TV, you know, there was a period of time when the only thing they were watching was public TV because there was no commercials. So what do commercials do? It turns your kid into a materialistic, worldly kid. That's what commercials do. It's like, you're going to be happy if you get your parents to go buy this, you know, and you won't be, you know. It's, you know, one of the things we did, we had the Beckers spend a few months with us when they first moved here while they were looking for a house. And so we had, Mark and Brianna in the house. And Mark's the character. He's loaded with personality. But he would see something on TV and he wanted it. And so it was kind of a running joke, but it was a serious joke that we had between him and me was, you know, it's a trick. They're trying to get your money. It's like they've got a whole warehouse full of this toy, and they don't want the toy. They want your money. And this is a trick. You know, after a while, you go get this toy. It's going to be in your closet. You'll forget about it, but they still got your money. You know, and yeah, you know, it's kind of helping them to understand that the people on that commercial are not out to just make Mark happy. That's not their goal in life. Their goal in life is to take your money. And, you know, maybe it'll, you know. So, and you know, helping them to just think through the fact that, you know, those things are not, you know, that's not where happiness comes from. Helping them to not become materialistic. But the more you let them be exposed to that, the more materialistic they're going to become. Okay. So, television. You know, obviously, even just the show itself can be a commercial for the characters that you can go buy, you know. There's, you know, even that can even happen on Sesame Street, you know. Elmo. Everybody wants an Elmo doll. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your kid having an Elmo doll, okay? But, you know, you see what I'm saying. You don't want your kids to become materialistic and start thinking that their joy, their life revolves around this stuff, and I got to have this stuff, okay? You know, it's not going to be, yeah, there's, I'm going to mention internet because, I mean, some of our kids are probably not there yet, but some of them are just on the edge of it. But there's a lot of evil out there on the internet. I don't have to remind you guys of that, right? Learning about parental controls on the internet, okay? Be learning about parental controls on your television. You can get those on television too, you know. Be thinking about, find out what your service provider offers in those lines. A lot of times they do. But it'd be great to have that stuff in place before your kids go in the wrong place, right? And by the way, keep, you know, mom and dad out of the wrong places too, right? There's nothing wrong with that. So there's, you know, find out what they have to offer. In the preschool class, we were saying, okay, what are some of the different, I mean, in elementary school class, the previous class, we were talking about what are some of the tools people have used for internet. Yeah, there's one called Net Nanny. It's, you know, you use a purchase, and then there's an annual subscription fee. It's the highly rated. I haven't used it personally. It's been a few years since we were in this market, but the other thing, the other one that was mentioned was one called K9, which is supposedly free, which Patrick Freeman recommended. He's, you know, he's a security professional, so he should know. So anyway, so there's a couple of ideas you can be looking into. You know, you got a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, probably not a big deal. You got a 4-year-old, it's about time to be thinking about that. Certainly by the time they're getting on the internet by themselves, if you're not careful, they'll be finding ways to find things that you don't want them to find and doing things that you don't want them to do. So internet. You know, cell phones are pretty much the same deal as internet. I don't think a kid needs a cell phone necessarily, but, you know, it's an expense. You don't have to, you know, think long and hard about and get plenty of advice before you give your kid a phone. Okay, that's coming down the road. That's not really yet. So anyway, let's look over in James chapter 4. I mean, basically we need to set a pattern in our house for keeping the world out. You have to tell your kids, I mean, even at the young ages, we don't do things the way the people around us do. We're Christians, we're following the Bible, and therefore we will be different. You know, a very small kid can understand that. I don't know exactly how old our kids were when this incident happened, but I believe it was preschool. Melody, you know, we're riding in a car. She sees somebody smoking a cigarette And her response was, they're not obeying their mommy. You know, a very young kid can learn that, number one, that there's some rules that other people don't obey, right? You know, that, but basically that we are Christians, we're following the Bible, and therefore we won't do some of the things that the other people do. You know, as your kids grow up, your kids cannot be the most popular kid in the class. You know, I don't want to burst your bubble. I hope that's not a big surprise and disappointment to you, but we'll be looking more at that later. But there's going to be a difference. There has to be a boundary. There has to be a distinction because we're set apart. We're different. Okay? So James 4, starting in verse 4, he says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." The context of that verse is materialism, isn't it? He's talking about, you know, you want, but you can't have, and it causes all this strife and trouble. But he says, you can't be a friend of the world and also be a friend of God. Okay? There's no middle ground. There's no loopholes in that. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Okay? Your kids, if they're going to be a friend of the world, they're going to be an enemy of God. Okay? There's no loophole there. So again, the toothbrush. You want your kid to be like a toothbrush. Okay? There's only one thing that he lives his life for. He's going to learn that in our family, we are the toothbrush. We're going to be one kind of family. Okay? So, you know, being a friend of the world, you know, sometimes we tend to use different words, but it's really the same thing. You know, our kids are going to want to be cool. It starts at a young age. They want to be the one that everybody looks up to. They're going to want cool clothes, cool gadgets. You know, as they start hanging out with other kids, they're going to start picking up cool vocabulary, which you don't necessarily approve of, right? You know, cool behavior. I mean, it's all, who defines what's cool? It's worldly, isn't it? It's Satan's tool for drawing your kids away from God. Okay? Being cool is not a good idea. Now, if cool means you treat other people right, you do unto others as you have them do unto you, you don't lie, cheat, steal, those things, you get respect for that. You know, but that's not what the culture defines as cool, is it? Okay. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Now let's look in Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. That means basically just don't be like them, right? That's, you know, just in simple terms, don't be like the people around you. You got to be different. Okay? You need to be transformed. And your kids need to be different. You can't be conformed to their friends around them. Okay? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is verses 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever." So do not love the world. I mean, you can't love the world. It's the same message. You can't love the world and love God. Okay? You gotta be the toothbrush. Okay? You got one purpose. You got one mission. You got one, your life is wrapped up in one thing. Okay? You know, your kids are going to be starting school in a few years. How many of you have got kids in daycare already? Okay, a couple of us. You know, your kids hang out with other kids, you know, whose parents are not disciples. You know, at a very young age, you might think, okay, I don't have to worry about that. You need to start talking to your kids now about being like God and not being, you know, that not everybody's trying to please God. That doesn't necessarily mean their friends are or aren't trying to please God, but they need to be ready because they're going to see other kids do things that are not right. And what you want to do is you want to prepare them in advance to recognize and say, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. Okay, and here's why. Because the Bible says I need to be righteous. I need to do what God says. And we talked in previous weeks about disciplining our kids with the Bible, right? And teaching them rules that are based on the Bible and showing them in the Bible why we do what we do, right? Even the preschoolers. You know, you don't necessarily, they can't read it yet, but you can point to it and say, this is where it says it, you know. And you know, holding the Bible up there is a powerful, you know, it's a symbol. In their mind, it starts out just as a symbol. But it's eventually, you know, as they learn to read it and they start understanding it more, you know, it becomes more than that. But, you know, kids learn bad language when they go to school, don't they? Okay, they learn it from their kids. And, you know, they may learn it at daycare, I don't know. But they learn it when they go to school. That's where they learn to disrespect authority. Okay? It's where they get sinful attitudes towards sex, right? As they get older, you know. It's where they get materialism. You know, they can get materialism in preschool. You know, in daycare. You can get materialistic at daycare. I want that toy like that kid has, or like they have in the toy box at daycare. You know, you know, everybody else has one. You know, be a good mom and dad, and you know, their mom and dad bought it for them, right? You can't let your, you know, go down that path. Okay, basically, worldliness. That's one of the ways the world comes into your house, is you put your kid out there in a worldly environment, and then they come home. And, you know, to some extent, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, unless you can homeschool your kids and, you know, basically keep them in a Christian environment their whole life, they're going to encounter that. But what you have to do is bail out the boat. You know, they come home, you got to get, you know, the boat's starting to get swamped with some of this bad stuff. You got to bail it out when they get home. So, you know, you're listening to your kid. You know, they say something, you know, you hear something that they didn't learn at home. You know, some language, some, you know, attitudes, you know, you start telling them about, you know, other people might do that, but we're trying to obey God, and so we're not going to do that. And of course, who else brings stuff home from, you know, from the world? Yeah. Mom and dad, right? Don't be a hypocrite, you know. You need to be different from the world around you, okay? You don't want your kids learning worldly habits from you, right? You've got all this trouble to keep them from getting it from everybody else, but then the most likely people they're going to imitate is mom and dad, right? They're going to turn out a lot like mom and dad. So, again, that's the whole modeling thing. You need to model for them what a Christian is like. Okay, you know, who your kids spend time with. And, you know, get to know the parents and the family before you start entrusting your child to them for any significant amount of time. You don't want your kid going over for a sleepover at somebody's house until you know something about that house. You know, something about how that house is run. What's the relationship like between mom and dad? What's the language like in that house? You know, what's the righteousness like in that house? And that goes for whether it's members of this church or not, right? You need to know something about it, because just because somebody's on the roll at our church doesn't necessarily mean that they're the kind of influence you want your kids to have. Okay. Do you want your kids to turn out like that? Okay. So get to know not trying to get everybody suspicious of everybody else at the church, but get to know people and know what you're getting into before you start entrusting your precious child to another family. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." That's kind of the bottom line, isn't it? Bad company corrupts good character. You want to raise a kid with good character, you got to watch out for that company. Becomes a big issue as they get older. Okay, but you want to start out right. Okay, you guys are in a great position because your kids are so young, right? So you can start out, you know, not have all those, you know, if your kids were 14 years old and you're trying to start from scratch, that's a tough job. Okay, but where you're at right now, you're starting at a beautiful place. So just make sure, you know, get off to a good start on these things. Proverbs 13:20. Says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So again, you know, you want to make sure that you're watching out for the companions that your kids keep. Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We need to teach our kids to be different from the world. So there's a teaching, there's a process that goes on between mom and dad and the kid at home to teach them about this stuff. Right? It's one thing for mom and dad to know this stuff. It's another thing that you need to teach the kids about it. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 10, says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit,' we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." So, you know, you're teaching your kids. You know, he says, first off, you know, he says, "My son." So we have here Solomon teaching his son, right? To say no. You're preparing your child in advance, because somebody out there sometime is going to tempt your precious little one to do the wrong thing. They're going to try to make it look good. They're going to make it enticing. They're going to say, you know, "Come do this with us." They're going to apply that pressure, peer pressure. You got to prepare them in advance. That's what Solomon's doing here, is he's preparing his child before that happens to recognize it when it comes. So, you know, he said, you know, you're telling them, do not go along with it. He says, there's people out there that don't share our values. And what we're going to do, you know, what you need to do is recognize it. You know, you're teaching your kid, when you see this, don't do it. Don't go with them. Okay. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 12, says, "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight path to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife and seductive words." Okay, so he goes on, talks about it. Excuse me. He says, wisdom will save you from these things, right? What is wisdom? Okay, speak up.
Using good discernment.
Okay, very good.
Fearing God.
Okay. Making the right decision. You know, in general, wisdom has to do with recognizing the consequences of your actions, right? And making a good choice because you see that. Okay. If you're wise, you kind of know in advance, I'm not going to go there. If you're not wise, you go ahead and put your hand on the hot stove, right? Okay. So what you're wisdom helps the, what they're saying is you're trying to train your child with wisdom. You can put some wisdom in your preschooler. You can help them learn. You don't have to make the mistake yourself. Learn from somebody else's mistake. Okay. Know in advance that that's not a good thing to do. So don't even go there. Okay. Train them in wisdom. You're basically teaching them the consequences of sin. Okay. You're teaching them why it's sin. Why they need to not do those things. And, you know, he says, you know, that wisdom will save you from those things. Okay. Whether it's, you know, he talks about here all kinds of different things. You know, the adulteress is probably, you know, at some point that's an important thing to talk about. But there's lots of things that small children get involved in, right? Teach them from the beginning. Get them in the habit. Get them in the pattern of recognizing, you know, point out to them when you see something that wasn't right. You know, you see something on TV or you see something, you know, something comes up in conversation at the dinner table. That wasn't right. You know, point it out. It wasn't right. And here's what the Bible says about that. And because we're trying to obey God, we're not going to do that. And, you know, so you're teaching them the consequences of sin and to recognize sin and not to get into it in the first place. Proverbs 7, verse 21 says, "With persuasive words," this one again is talking, is literally talking about the adulteress or the, you know, but yet it's, it could be any sin. Okay, this could be any sin. You can teach the same kind of things to your younger children. "With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with a smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. It's like, just don't go there. Stay away from that stuff. Go as far as you can from that kind of, you know, you see something that's not right. You see something that's not right, you know, you don't go there. You need to, you know, help your kids to recognize what's right and what's not right. Okay? So, you know, basically, we mentioned before, your kid won't be the most popular kid in the class. Okay? Jesus talked about that. Not necessarily about your kid, but in general. You know, he says in John 15, starting in verse 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not love the world. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." You can teach that lesson to a very young child. Okay, that, you know, there's going to be people out there that don't want to be your friend because they want you to do bad things, and you're not going to do bad things. You need to teach your kid that there's two kinds of people in the world. Okay, we are set apart. We are holy. We are trying to please God. We're going to be different from the other people. Don't be surprised when you see that. And be strong and do what's right. I mean, you can train a very young child to that. John 17:14 says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one." You know, the idea here is we need to, we need to pray for our kids, help our kids to protect them from the evil one. Satan's the one that's after your kid, right? That's a serious adversary, isn't it? Okay, it's not small potatoes. The stakes are the highest. You know, we need to be willing, you know, the big thing here is we have to be willing to pay the full price. Okay, we need to be fully committed to God, not just partially, not just a little bit, not dipping our toe a little bit over here. We need to be willing to pay the full price so that our kid, you know, we're okay with the fact that our kid's not going to be, you know, homecoming queen, or our kid's not going to be, you know, president of his class in high school, or he's, you know, they're not going to be the most popular kid in the school. You know, got to be okay about that. I'm not saying that we're deliberately trying to be weird, but if we're trying to be righteous, that's the cost that you're going to have to pay. Be willing to pay the full price. So, and again, it's the toothbrush. You know, we're only we have only one purpose. Okay. 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read this passage, and I want you to think about, who does this remind you of? Who is being described here? 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Who does that sound like?
Teenagers.
All right. Yep. You know, your kids are not that far from being teenagers. They're going to be around a lot of teenagers over the next few years, right? Okay. Who else is that like? People. Yeah, people all over the place in the world, right? Pop culture. Okay. How about music? Do you see some of those things in the music that people listen to? Okay. You know, how about, you know, sports stars? You know, how about, you know, who are the people that people look up to that the average, we'll just say middle school, high school person looks up to? Don't you see them in this list? Okay. You know, the people that our pop culture looks up to are in this list. This is what it says. This is the way people are. And what's the part that I didn't read there? Have nothing to do with them. Okay. So when you're raising your kids, this is an issue, right? Because especially as they get into and start going to school and then they start getting older, you gotta build some defenses there. It says have nothing to do with them. You know, we read in Deuteronomy about how these other influences will lead you away from God. Okay? If you're serious about wanting your kids to go to heaven, I hope we're all serious about that, right?
Amen.
You know, we believe in the Bible, right? We believe in God. We believe there's going to be a judgment for us and also for our kids. Our kid's going to one day stand in front of God and be judged. And we want God to be able to say to them, well done, good and faithful servant, right? I mean, what a day that would be, right? Visualize that. But how do you get there? How do you get there? Okay. You've got to keep the worldly influences out. I mean, there's got to be this separation. Okay. If there's one message out of this whole class, it's the toothbrush. Your kid has to be one purpose. Your family, your whole house has to have one purpose. God needs to be in everything you do, wrapped up in it. Okay. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, starting in verse 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do the righteous, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, I hope that you've gotten the point here, and it's all over the scriptures, that there needs to be a clean separation between us and the world, between the children of God and the people who are living any other way other than being children of God. So there needs to be a very clean distinction. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, we still want to reach out to people. We still want to convert people. We still want to be evangelistic. But our kids have to see the difference. You know, they can see us out there inviting people to church and bringing them to church. And they can see us out there having friends in the neighborhood. But they have to understand that there's a difference. And that we're not going to do the things that they do. We're going to try to persuade them to follow God like we do. Okay. So your kids can see that. They're going to evangelize with you. They'll understand what it's about. Okay? So we need to teach our kids to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? Therefore, to be holy, set apart. Okay? The bottom line is you can only trust the non-Christians so far. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When it comes to entertainment, suppose, like, for instance, I love Latin dances, you know, but the music that I would dance to doesn't have any vulgar lyrics, and you're not going to dress inappropriately. Would that be kind of, like, touching a very, touchy subject?
Well, you don't want to do, you know... From what you just described, I can't say there's anything wrong with that. I mean, what we're talking about is avoiding sin. So if there's a scripture that says don't do those things, then don't do those things and don't do things that are like those things, right? So,
I understand where I'm coming from. Latin dancing kind of is a sensual, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's something that I, as an individual, that's what I like. I'm not thinking of it as being... vulgar. It's just entertaining to me. So that's my pleasure. But I don't know if that's something I should stay away from because it might not look godly or, you know.
I would, you know, there. I don't have a good mental picture of what you're talking about. If it's ungodly, I don't want to know what it's like. Talk to my wife. She can help you. She can help you with that more than I can. But, you know, you definitely, there's a number of issues that have to be thought about there. You know, not only whether you're being righteous, but also whether you're tempting somebody else to think something unrighteous, you know. So, but, you know, talk to Sherry. That's the best advice I can give you on that. We're gonna have Q&A in just a minute. Let me kind of go through here real quick with a summary of what we've covered. And what I want you to do is think about this is sort of a quick recap of the four classes. What I want you to do is, as we're going through this, think about, how's it going? Okay. We talked about the foundation. We talked about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Saturating your home with the Scriptures. You know, having Scriptures on your refrigerator. Talking about the Scriptures at the dinner table. You know, using the Scriptures to discuss the events of the day. You know, connecting the, you know, when you're correcting your children using the Scriptures. Repenting and correcting yourself using the Scriptures. And, you know, we've talked about teaching your kids and keeping those worldly influences out. That was week one. It's kind of a big broad stroke picture of the godly house. Week two, we talked about the parents. Talked about keeping things in proper priority order. So God is obviously number one. Nothing comes in close. There's no second place. There's no photo finish. You know, it's like Secretariat at the Belmont, you know, if you remember that, for those of you old enough, you know. It's like God, and then way later, all the rest, right? But then number two is your spouse. Okay, number three is your kids, and then the believers, and then everybody else. And the key thing there is, you don't let a lower priority cause you to neglect a higher priority. It doesn't necessarily mean that you spend more time with your kids than you do with, or, you know, it doesn't mean you spend more time praying and reading your Bible than you do working for a living. What it does mean is you make sure that nothing you do keeps you from doing that, from having that prayer time and keeping that relationship with God. So, you know, the priority order, you basically make sure you're taking care of the top one, then you move to the next one. Make sure you're taking that care of that one, you move to the next one. Okay, so that was, you talked about the priority. We talked about modeling the godly life for your children. Living godly, having a godly husband and wife. Showing your children what it's like to submit to authority. A really big issue. You want your kids to be respectful of authority? Show them what that looks like by respecting authority yourself. By submitting to the Scriptures and showing them your repentance when you need to repent. Okay? By having, you know, wife and husband have a godly relationship and respect each other appropriately. So modeling. And fathers taking the lead. Okay, we talked about things that a father provides for his son and his daughter, things that a mother provides for her son and her daughter. And so that was the second week. The third week we talked about the kids, discipline. Talked about having very clear boundaries, not a long list of rules, but when you have a rule, you enforce it every time. And talked about having rational discipline. You know, we're not talking about an emotional response, you know, discipline and anger. We're talking about your kid disobeys, you have a conversation with him and say, here's what it says in the Bible, here's what our rule says, here's the punishment you're going to get because you did that. Okay, and you give it to him, and it's very rational. We talked about the discipline needs to be painful enough to where they would rather change their behavior than to get the punishment again, right? If it's not, then they're going to say, well, that was worth it. I'll do the wrong thing again, you know. So it doesn't have the effect. All right. So you have to, sometimes the punishment may be physical. Sometimes it may be emotional. It may be taking away a privilege or a toy. Talked about, if you have two kids fighting, you fighting over a toy, you know, we talked about letting the kids, work out between themselves how they're going to share the toy. And if they don't work it out, then you take the toy away. So training them in those adult skills. Talk about having mom and dad united on the rules and the punishments. And that probably means some compromise. But get the help if you need it and get that common ground and agree on that so that you can be consistent and so that your kids will see that consistency. So that because if you're not consistent, you're going to basically train them not to respect authority. You're going to train them to look for loopholes, look for ways around it, rather than just say, okay, those boundaries are always there. I'm just going to stay inside them. Okay. So we talked about that last week. This week, of course, we talked about the world. We talked about being the toothbrush. You only got one purpose. You can't do two things and still be useful for that main purpose, right? So that's what we've talked about. Your kids are not going to be the coolest kids in school, but they hopefully will get to go to heaven. So, right? That's the upside. Okay? So it's a lot bigger than a lot bigger deal. So, all right, let me just open it up. What's hard? What's going well? What's not going well? What are y'all thinking about? Ann.
One of the problems that I do have right now is Antonio and I are currently living.
You're currently
living with my parents.
Okay.
And we're in the process of looking for somewhere for a house to buy. A lot of the problems that I've encountered in terms of discipline has been if I tell Mia to do something and she starts crying about it, she runs to my parents. And then my parents, will try to overrule that. Or when I'm punishing her, they come in the middle of that and try to kind of, I don't know how to describe it, put their own spin on it. I have very Caribbean parents, so it's kind of like, I don't want to disrespect, but at the same time, I want to be able to discipline my daughter and have those boundaries not pushed.
Yeah.
Because my daughter has my personality. She will, I'm just going to admit it, she has my personality. She just looks like my husband. So she is stubborn, and it's one of those things where I took the advice and I started using the Bible. And I've seen changes in her, and I've seen that, but the main problem I have is with my parents. Yeah. Because then it turns into conflict, and that's not what I'm looking for. I don't want to say anything to them, but I need to help them, trying to get them to understand that, this is how I discipline my daughter, and they can't come in between that. It's kind of like a...
I think the two of you need to sit down with your parents and explain to them that this is how we're going to raise the kids, and we need you to cooperate with it. And talk to them about the confusion it causes for the kids when there's not a consistent rule and when there's not a consistent discipline. And, basically that as parents, y'all are the ones that God is holding responsible. So y'all make the decision, and you do have the right to tell your parents, okay, this is how it's going to be with our kids. Okay. And appeal to them to cooperate with it. I think you can persuade them to that. Because it's for the kids' best interest. And they're on the same side you are with that. It just has to be consistent. There has to be one set of rules. So, I definitely sit down and have that talk. Yes?
That was kind of about, keeping the world out, away from your kids. What I kind of noticed, I think, with our battle has been that, kind of put it in the... As we're disciples and we're raising our children to be disciples, our friends, but I feel like we can control the outside influence of the world, because they're young right now. But it seems like what has been shocking to us is that our friends who are disciples don't seem to be imparting that same discipleship with their kids. Therefore, their kids and their actions, we have to say, kind of keep that boundary just even from disciples. And so it's kind of like, so how do you explain, trainer and right is wrong and kind of try to control the environment as much as it can be, but that's kind of been a hard thing, to see and to have to deal with when we have close friends but their kids aren't necessarily obedient or they're not imparting the parenting they should so that the children can be obedient and then have your children around them because you have a relationship with them.
Well, I think there's two things. One of them is, to the extent you can, try to help those parents see what they're missing. Okay?
But advice on that? I haven't been able to know how to do that, in a way where I feel like it won't be, offensive or, taken. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's hard to tell people about their children or their parenting, even when they are close friends. It's kind of not the easiest thing.
Right. It's not. And, there's a diplomatic way to say it, but you don't want to just almost say it. You want to make sure that at the end of the conversation they heard exactly what you were trying to say. So, but I do think you ought to have that conversation. Say, here's how we're trying to raise our daughter, and here's the problem that it's causing. You know, that there's a difference. You know, and but I think that's one side of it is I think you do need to have that conversation, and you can get other people to help you with that. You know, but the second thing is you have to build that boundary even within the church. You know, your household. Yeah, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, Joshua said that to a room full of, or a nation full of God's people, right? He says, y'all do what you're going to do. I hope you'll do the right thing, but here's what we're going to do. And I think that you have to say that same thing. You have to say, you know, say, it's okay. In fact, it's necessary. Unfortunately, it is necessary to say, okay, just because they're in our church doesn't necessarily mean I want you to grow up and be like them. Okay. So, it's unfortunate, yeah. But we're all growing, you know. We're all learning. All of us are falling short, so you know, patience.
I recommend the class because a couple of them are not in our ministry, but to the online.
Yeah.
I recommend them listen to the class.
Okay.
You know.
Well, good. Okay. Anybody else? Well, since this is a young parenting class, we all have children who are currently needing to be picked up from their classes. So I'll turn you loose. Thank you very much. And we'd be glad to talk about this informally afterwards. Thanks.